Hi, I'm Shekhar Gupta and I bring to you a fresh episode of Cut the Clutter. Given the focus on Punjab, there's been a lot of curiosity about, a little bit about, where does this separatist urge or separatist impulse come from? How serious is it? And it's a strange story of how this is more serious overseas in the Sikh diaspora than within the state of Punjab. Right? And that's been the trend for a very long time, for decades now. So one name that keeps coming up, and I've seen in responses to my episodes of Cut the Clutter and my National Interest a couple of weeks ago, where I talked about the rising Amritpal Singh issue, that is after he had stormed the police station in Rajnala. And I had said that, look, not for a long time has anybody uttered the K word or the Khalistan word in Punjab. Even Bhindranwale and his lot were careful uttering that word. But that word was used a lot more by Sikh separatist leaders based overseas. And in response to that article in my National Interest series and also a couple of other episodes of Cut the Clutter, people have said, look, you mention everybody, but you don't mention a man called Jagjit Singh Chauhan, who styled himself as the president of Khalistan, of president of quote-unquote sovereign Khalistan. Not in India, but in overseas. So he used this word. Why aren't you talking about that? So first of all, the context is what is happening in India to begin with. And that's what we've been talking about. Second, it's an interesting point as to why does this separatist impulse remain so vocal overseas? It was the case earlier in the 80s, in the Bhindranwale phase. And even now, that is the situation. You see these noises in Canada. You see these noises in London, you've seen these protests in London at the Indian Mission. You've seen these protests at the Indian Consulate in San Francisco. So there is this thing within the Sikh diaspora that still keeps talking about, and every now and then, every few years, comes up with the same idea or revives the same idea. There can be many reasons, including the fact that outside, other foreign forces, particularly the Pakistanis, can be a lot more involved. And they've been involved, and I will tell you how in a couple of minutes. Because we are talking today about just the man that you've been so curious about. You've been asking me to talk about Jagjit Singh Chauhan, who styled himself until late 80s, in fact, until very early 90s, until he got his moment of truth, epiphany, whatever you call it, in about 92, 93. When the last phase of terrorism slash militancy in Punjab was dying out. 1991 was the worst phase in Punjab. People seem to think that the Bhindranwale phase, 83, 84, were the worst phase in Punjab. No, 1990-91 were the worst phase in Punjab, where in one 12-month period, more than 15,000 people had died and many key people had been killed. That is when India also had very weak governments, particularly VP Singh's government. Nevertheless, it was around time that phase was ending that this gentleman changed his mind. His name is Jagjit Singh Chauhan. Now, Jagjit Singh Chauhan is somebody, I will tell you some interesting things about him. He was in mainstream politics. He was earlier, his first election he had won as MLA in Punjab, in combined Punjab, before Punjab split into Punjab and Haryana. He had won on the ticket of Republican Party of India. Then he joined the Akali Dal. In the Akali Dal government in 1967, Indian politics had big changes. That's when under Mrs. Gandhi, Congress Party lost a lot of the states. And in Punjab also, an Akali Dal-led government came into power. It's kind of a coalition government. But Akali Dal, Sant Fateh Singh Group government came to power. That government was headed by Justice Gurnam Singh, who was the chief minister. And his deputy speaker in that assembly was Jagjit Singh Chauhan, very much a mainstream politician. Within a year, one of the lieutenants of Justice Gurnam Singh pulled the rug, took 16 MLAs away from him. At that point, there was no anti-defection law also. Took 16 MLAs away from him, launched another party of his own, joined hands with the Congress Party, became chief minister. So Lakshman Singh Gill became chief minister in 1967, and in his cabinet, Jagjit Singh Chauhan now became finance minister. Now, that government did not last, as you would expect. Why would the Congress share power with the Akali Dal or an element of the Akali Dal and give it to them for keeping the Congress Party's idea was to pull the rug. Everybody does it. Congress Party used to do it in the past. The BJP does it now. So they pulled the rug. Punjab went through fresh elections where Jagjit Singh Chauhan lost his election. After he lost his election, he began to look at a future elsewhere. By 1971, he had left India. In 1971, he went to UK, to London. He met the usual suspects there, obviously Pakistani intelligence and others. And then he went to Pakistan, Nankana Sahib, where Yahya Khan met him. He was then the president. Those were the weeks and the months of the build-up to the war in Bangladesh. And the Pakistanis needed someone like him. Pakistanis patronized him. Yahya Khan said, you are the leader of the Sikhs. You should now set up a separatist Khalistan movement and we'll do everything possible for you. It was at that point that Jagjit Singh Chauhan again went back to UK and then went to America. Then I never found sufficient documentation for it. Although if you asked him, he would smile at you meaningfully. If you asked him, did you also meet Henry Kissinger in 1971 in Washington? And he'll smile at you meaningfully in a manner with a smile that said, "Arey, aapko kya pata hai? Abhi bache ho, abhi kya jaante ho?" Right? I last met him in 1993. And that is the meeting I will talk about. That's a published interview in India Today magazine that I will quote from. Because that interview also tells us how his mind changed. How he got his moment of truth or epiphany in 92-93. That his was a failed movement. That Khalistan was not going to happen. In fact, the headline of that interview in India Today, and I'm sharing that link with you. You can read the whole link with the description. But you will also see the pages on your screens. The headline is, you can't get Khalistan through military means, right? This is 93. Another 8-10 years, his mind changed a bit more, which I will again tell you about as we go along. Now, he was patronized by the British, by the Americans, and definitely by the Pakistanis, who said, come do something. We will hand over everything to you. You create the state of Khalistan. This started in 1971. In 1971, it was that he took a full-page ad in the New York Times. 13th October 1971, remember. 3rd of December 1971, the war formally began. The Bangladesh Liberation War formally began. But fighting was going on the eastern side, on the Bangladesh side, or what was then East Pakistan side, from several weeks earlier. So this is when the early stages of war in the East had begun. Fighting had begun. 13th October, he took a full-page ad in the New York Times asking for a separate sovereign Sikh state and trying to raise funds. Obviously, he had the money to pay for that ad, and through that ad, he raised a lot of money. So he was already active on behalf of the Pakistanis in New York, in the US, in UK at that point of time, and had also been to Pakistan and had met key people in Pakistan. Among the key people he met in Pakistan, and one of them, a very rich landed Chaudhry of Pakistan, Chaudhry Zahoor Ilahi, he became his main patron. Chaudhry Zahoor Ilahi has, I went to see his son once in their house in Lahore, and my eyes popped out because the house is columns like one of those Roman palaces, right? That must be one of the wealthiest families in Pakistani Punjab. A landed family. The father, Zahoor Ilahi, had started out only as a police constable, but must have done a few things well in life, or must have done a few things cleverly in life to build such wealth. His son, who I had gone to meet on my first visit to Pakistan in 1985, and who I kept meeting often since then, was Chaudhry Shujaat Hussain, who later became briefly the Prime Minister of Pakistan, the 16th Prime Minister of Pakistan. He used to be with Zia, then he used to be with Nawaz Sharif, then he's been heading what is called as PMLQ or Pakistan Muslim League Qaid, which in the time of the generals, particularly in the time of Musharraf, was called the King's Party. That is the party that the King, which means the military dictator, patronized. So he's still there, Shujaat Hussain, and he's leading this party. His father became Jagjit Singh Chauhan's main patron, and for a long time was seen as the main Pakistani patron of the Khalistan movement, or whatever that movement was. So I've taken you back there, then I get you to leapfrog. Then I take you to leapfrog to 1993, and then I will take you back to 1972.
So hang on, come to 1993, winter of 1993. This is the time when the final phase of terrorism slash militancy in Punjab is dying. KPS Gill, Ajit Doval in Delhi, many of them had worked together, but most importantly, it's the Punjab police that had worked at fighting that insurgency and finishing it. I had interviewed KPS Gill earlier in the same year. That interview was published in April 1993 in India Today magazine. I'll share a link with you. And you see what he says in that interview. He says that, look, this is something that only Punjab police could have handled. This is something that only Sikhs could have handled. Because Sikhs came to the conclusion that there was no gain for them in Punjab continuing to have this violence being disturbed, separatism. Only then this problem could be fixed. And a Sikh police fixed it. And in fact, he said sort of half jokingly, but also half seriously, that who were the people fighting on the other side? People carrying AK-47s. They were Jat Sikhs. What's my police? It's majority Jat Sikhs. So this was Jats versus the Jats. And the good Jats won. That's how he put it. So in the same year, around time, a new history was beginning in Punjab, a history of normalcy. I was in London, and along with Nirupama Subramanian, who happened to be our London correspondent for India Today, Nirupama now works with Indian Express. She's one of their senior editors and writes very often about foreign affairs and complexities of international situations. You see her often on the Indian Express Explained page as well. So she and I both went to meet Jagjit Singh Chauhan. Jagjit Singh Chauhan then lived very modestly. He lived on the 12th floor of what is called as a council housing building. Council housing building in a British city in London is like a small welfare housing place that the state gives you if you are not a person of means. So he was living very modestly in a council housing facility on 12th floor. And we went to meet him. He met us very warmly. I think if I remember correctly, he boiled some tea for us himself. And he brought it for us, and that conversation also got published in full in India Today magazine. Again, I'm sharing a link with you. So what are the highlights of that conversation that he told us? Because that tells you a story of what happened in the past that might also give us a telescopic window or a telescope through the window into what might happen in the future. Although I do hope it won't happen at the same cost. Now, what did he say? First of all, he said, the first point he made was that, look, you can't get Khalistan through military means. That is over. And he said, the violent movement is over, and thank God for that. So we were taken aback that here is a man who called himself the president of Khalistan, president of National Council of Khalistan. And now he's saying the movement is over. And he said, look, this was not a violent movement, was not our movement. Violence was done by the boys of Indian intelligence. They were no real Jujharus. Jujharus are virtuous fighters, right? So they were not, in Punjab, they were also called Khadkus sometimes. So they were no Jujharus. These were criminals, and these were all funded and organized by Indian intelligence. So he began by disowning completely the militants, armed militants in Punjab. And he said, I am happy, all this is a published interview. And he said, I am happy that a political process has begun in Punjab, whatever it is. Then of course, he didn't fully give up the idea that Punjab will become an autonomous state, but by this time, he had nuanced his position to indicate that this will become a state within India. So he said, just as there is a CIS, you know, the Soviet Union first became Confederation of Independent States, or EC, European Community, that's the way India will also grow. So I said, how can you say that? Nirupama and I both said, how can you say that? Because BJP is becoming powerful in India. This was 93, post-Ayodhya, BJP was rising, BJP stock was rising. So he said, BJP is becoming powerful in India. How can you imagine India will break up or India will federalize in such a way to become such a loose federation? So he said that, look, I know the BJP leaders. They are much more realistic, and I think they will find a solution like that. Then he talked about Operation Blue Star. And he said, Operation Blue Star, 1984, that is something that Indira Gandhi did. Indira Gandhi did because she wanted to shore up her chances in the 84 elections, but she failed. And the Pakistanis also failed. And he said, who was Bhindranwale? Bhindranwale was no militant. He was just a simple poor fellow. He got cornered, but once he got cornered, he had no option but to fight. And then he told us some stories. He said that Narasimha Rao, as Prime Minister, this is when Punjab is settling down under Narasimha Rao's watch. Narasimha Rao, Beant Singh in Punjab as Chief Minister, who later got unfortunately assassinated. K.P.S. Gill, Ajit Doval working from Delhi at the central level, all of them working together. He said that Narasimha Rao sent Chandrasekhar to meet me. Chandrasekhar is the former Prime Minister preceding Narasimha Rao. So that also shows you how India's senior politicians worked together those days in the national interest. So Narasimha Rao had Chandrasekhar meet Jagjit Singh Chauhan. And he said, Chandrasekhar said, why don't you talk to the Sikh leaders or Khalis, so-called separatist leaders, and tell them now to calm down, join the mainstream. I said, look, I can only talk to somebody called Vasant Singh Zafarwal, who is the chairman of Panthik committee. He's the only serious guy, right? All the other fellows I don't trust. And he said some of the others who are seen as militant leaders are no militant leaders. They are all compromised. He said, for example, that Paramjit Singh Panjwar, who was one of the most prominent militants at that point, he is a man of Surinder Kero. Surinder Kero was a Congress leader, the son of former Chief Minister Pratap Singh Kero. He said Paramjit Singh Panjwar is a man of Surinder Kero. Gurbachan Singh Manochahal is a man of Bhutta Singh's. Gurbachan Singh Manochahal, by the way, was killed in an encounter later. Panjwar, if I remember correctly, had escaped to Punjab, and last heard he was somewhere in Punjab. But I may not be very current with that. In fact, if my memory is right, he was also among the names that Mr. Advani had handed over to Musharraf in January 2002 of the people, Indian terrorists / militants, India demanded Pakistan hand back to us. Now, he said all of these people don't matter. Person who matters is Vasant Singh Zafarwal. But in any case, I don't think it's going to help if I call anybody, because his movement is now dying. Then he talked more about his involvement with the Pakistanis. So he said 72 or 1973, Shimla Accord was not yet signed. So he's taking us back to that period. So obviously it was sometime in 1972, because we checked then that is when Bhutto was in New York. So he said Bhutto was in New York and I was in New York and I was invited to meet Bhutto. This is a published interview, published in the December 15, 1993 issue of India Today. Jagjit Singh Chauhan, by the way, died in 2007, much later, 2007, back home in his hometown of Tanda Urmar near Hoshiarpur in Punjab. That's a different story. We'll conclude somewhere there. So 1972, he said Bhutto invited me to meet him and then asked me to start the Khalistan movement, resume the Khalistan movement, because obviously he was now smarting. Pakistan had just been divided and Bhutto wanted to take revenge on India. So he said in the course of the meeting, I needed to go to the toilet. Chauhan is saying that, recorded in interview. I needed to go to the toilet, and he says one of Bhutto's officers followed me. And as he followed me to the toilet, he said, and I quote Jagjit Singh Chauhan quoting the officer, and he said, quote, Sardarji, you are from Jalandhar area. My father also came from there. Your face reminds me of my father. So I want to caution you to not listen to these people. Ae tuhanu kharab karange, Punjabi. You must have figured out what it means. It means they will ruin you. They will exploit you and ruin you. So he said one of Bhutto's own officers warned me that these guys were going to exploit me and ruin me. So he said the foreign minister who was accompanying Bhutto, he said to me, Sardarji, you have the keys to Nankana Sahib. Come there. We will help you and make it the capital of Khalistan. Start the movement from there. Right? So we asked him, why did Bhutto want to do it? Why was he doing it? So he says, why shouldn't he have done it? He was wanting revenge for Bangladesh. And then we said, but why did they lose out then? They had you on their side. He said they lost out because they were not very intelligent. So we asked him, what makes you say the Pakistanis are not very intelligent? So he said, you see what? Lately, Pakistanis have figured, this is 92, 93 period. Lately, Pakistanis have figured that militancy or separatism in Punjab is flagging, that this is now fading away. So their intelligence fellow came to meet me. And he said, you go back, revive the Panthik committee, revive the separatist movement, we will help you. So he said, again published interview, he said, I said to the Pakistan intelligence guy that how can I start that movement? Because how can we start that movement? Because Darbar Sahib is not with us. What that means is that we Sikh separatists cannot resume the movement because we don't have control of the Golden Temple. So he said, the Pakistani intelligence officer said, what is Darbar Sahib? So he had a big laugh. So I told him, and I'll say this in Punjabi, ke tanu eh nahi pata Darbar Sahib ki hai. You don't even know what is Darbar Sahib. Khalistan tuanu bangan samaj aavega. Now that is impossible to translate. It's been published like that in the original interview also. Bangan is a brinjal or eggplant. So in Punjabi, if you want to say, dekho bilkul akal nahi hai, you have no sense, you are a complete nutcase, you have no intelligence, right? Or you are a moron. You say, tenu bangan bhi samaj nahi aayega. Tenu bangan de bhi akal nahi hai. It's one of those Punjabisms. So he said, I told the intelligence guy, tenu eh nahi pata Darbar Sahib ki hai, don't know what Darbar Sahib is, that it's the Golden Temple in Amritsar. Khalistan, tuhanu bangan samajh aayega. You have a hope in hell of understanding what Khalistan is, so you forget it. And he said, look at the Pakistanis. The Pakistanis have all the resources, and the most important resource the Pakistanis have, he's talking in 1993, is people, the key leaders of the quote-unquote Khalistan movement, the key fighters, were in Pakistan, and he said they were not even giving him access to them, including Balbir Singh Sandhu, his deputy. And he said that's because the Pakistanis don't know now what to do. They've lost out, because he said at that point that Pakistanis have realized that what exists in Kashmir by way of helping their campaign there does not exist in Punjab. And the Pakistanis have understood this. And he said, we six, What did the Pakistanis give to us? Six, we were just used, he said. And what were we given? Now, I will say it in Punjabi as he said it, and then I will do my best of a translation, although it's untranslatable. He said, Onane si sikhanu ki ditta. What did they give to us? Six, Thanthan Gopal. Thanthan Gopal is not very difficult to translate. Maybe I'll say a load of rubbish is all we got. But you know, if you have any familiarity with Hindi metaphor, then you say, Thun Thun Gopal. Remember that old line, Aamdani Thanni Kharcha Rupaiya, Na Poocho Na Poocho Haal, Natija Thun Thun Gopal. So Thun Thun Gopal is like a way of saying that you ended up with absolutely nothing. And it is said with a great sense of disappointment and a bit of anger. And then he goes on to rationalize or nuance the idea of Khalistan. He says, in 10th century, it was one of my ancestors, Prithviraj Chauhan, not Akshay Kumar, the real Prithviraj Chauhan. My ancestor, Prithviraj Chauhan, fought the Muslim invaders. After that, no Hindu rulers fought the Muslim invaders. After that, the only Indians to fight the Muslim invaders were the Khalsa, were the Sikhs who fought them later, who fought the Mughals later. So that was a great movement that my Sikh ancestors, first of all, my Rajput ancestor, Prithviraj Chauhan, my Chauhan ancestor, fought Muslim invaders, and then my Khalsa ancestors fought Muslim rulers. So why don't you, in honoring that movement, Khalsa movement, rename the state of Punjab Khalistan? Won't that be fair? So he had already nuanced his position greatly. And then we asked him, what happens if Government of India now calls you and offers you a compromise? What will you accept as a compromise? So he said, what's there to compromise? What will they offer me? They'll invite me. They'll promise me. Again, I'm quoting him. They'll promise me. They'll say, Aao ji, jalebi or laddu khao. They'll promise me jalebis and laddus. But all, they won't even give me a cup of tea. But of course, he says, in the course of time, I believe that there'll be decentralization, etc., etc., etc. In conclusion, he also said that this is a game that Indira Gandhi and the Pakistanis were playing. He said they were both playing the Sikh card. Both of them failed. And right now, he was kind of a lost cause. He talked also about his patrons in the US. He talked about the richest peach farmers in California who funded the movement. Didar Singh Bains became very prominent and later sort of became very peaceable in his intentions and also in his outlook. Everybody got a reality check as time moved on, and with the passage of time, Indian state also became quite forgiving, because Punjab got its peace dividend, and even the separatists got their peace dividend. So Jagjit Singh Chauhan, in fact, was pardoned by the Vajpayee government. He came back to India in 2001. By that time, he was not talking any separatism at all. He died peacefully at his home in Tanda Urmar, overgrown village near Hoshiarpur in 2007. Having said that, I'll mention two more names in conclusion. One was a man called Balbir Singh Sandhu. So when Jagjit Singh Chauhan declared himself as the president of National Council of Khalistan, Balbir Singh Sandhu declared himself Secretary General. Balbir Singh Sandhu used to hang around in the Golden Temple in the Bhindranwale era. And those of us who visited the Golden Temple often would meet him. And he was very generous. He would give you time, generous with time, coats, and also generous with cash and postage stamps. Cash means, I'm saying cash with a straight face, right? Cash as in Khalistan currency notes. Everybody wanted those as souvenirs. Those are plastic currency notes, right? I don't know what were the amounts or what was the currency. I think it was some kind of a dollar, if I remember correctly, right? So all reporters, everybody went to him for souvenir hunting. He disappeared after Operation Blue Star. Nobody exactly knows how he escaped from the Golden Temple, but he landed up in Pakistan. That is something that Jagjit Singh Chauhan said in this interview. And we don't know particularly what happened with him subsequently, but he also gave up this idea. Also because their patrons, the Pakistanis, concluded that they had lost out, that this card had failed for them. And yet another one was in Washington, a gentleman called, again a rich businessman called Ganga Singh Dhillon, who was also leading the big lobbying effort in Washington. And I can in conclusion only quote you to you something that Khushwant Singh wrote about him. Khushwant Singh, whose anniversary fell just a couple of days back. So Khushwant Singh wrote about him, and this was published in his magazine, the Weekly then, Illustrated Weekly of India. He said that Ganga Singh Dhillon reached out to me to try and convert me to Khalistan cause, and I told him, your name is Ganga Singh Dhillon. Ganga is a holy river. It's a river that's holy to Hindus and to Sikhs. How can you call yourself Ganga Singh Dhillon and ask for Khalistan for a separate Sikh state? I suggest one of these mornings, early mornings, Amrit Vele, as he wrote it, Amrit Vele is a Punjabi concept of very early in the morning, before sunrise even begins, that one morning, Amrit Vele, go and take a holy dip in the icy waters of the river that flows by your house. That's the Potomac River. Icy waters of the river that flows by your house, and rename yourself Potomac Singh Dhillon. And then you can talk about separatism.